Thank you for subscribing and listening to CERT News. This podcast accompanies the March 2016 issue, which can be found online at www.unf.edu/CIRT/newsletters.
This is Deb Miller, Director of CERT. I recently attended the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative meeting in San Antonio. This annual meeting brings together academic leaders, faculty, instructional designers, technologists, and other academic support staff to explore the advancement of learning through innovative application of technologies. There were few vendors and no exhibit hall, unlike most other EdTech conferences I regularly attend. The general and concurrent sessions were excellent, and the spirit of the meeting was collaborative and inspirational. I felt I was among my people. In this edition of CERT News, I'll share my key takeaways. To set the stage, it's worth mentioning that ELI's 2016 Key Issues in Teaching and Learning list identifies digital learning ecosystems, adaptive learning, and open educational resources among the focal points for its programming in 2016, and those topics were woven throughout most of the sessions. Highlights included Michael Crow, president of Arizona State, delivering a keynote titled, "What Can a Public University Really Do?" in which he exhorted the audience to think like designers, going beyond bureaucratic structures and cultures to find solutions that will enable us to embrace and educate a changing student demographic, even during an era of decreased state funding for higher education. Randy Bass, Vice Provost at Georgetown, is well known for his work at the intersections of new technologies and the scholarship of teaching and learning. His talk, "From Disruption to Design, Whole Person Learning in the New Ecosystem," focused on the use of digital environments to renew the vision of liberal education as widely available, meaningful, and democratizing. Bass recommended four guiding principles as we delve into this intersection: learner-centered, networked, integrative, and adaptive. With an increased focus on data analytics and personalized learning nationally and at the state level, it will be interesting to watch and see how the Board of Governors and individual institutions move or don't move toward implementation of more networked and integrated systems that use learning data to provide personalized and adaptive experiences to students. Brian Alexander presented the HorizonPort 2016. Dave Wilson covers this important annual report in greater detail later in this edition's Digital Thinking article. You'll see an increased focus on measuring learning and using that data to customize instruction. For more information about these ideas and the conference, please read the full version of this column in this edition of CERT News.
Hi, I'm Kevin Shulin, Assistant Director of Online Course Development. I'm here today to talk about Faculty Spotlight, transitioning team-based projects to the online environment. When Jim Littleton, an instructor in the School of Computing, moved his legal and ethical issues in computing course online, the main challenge was whether the major assignment in the course, a team-based research project, could be organized and facilitated online. During the first attempt, Littleton ran a team-based research project online in a manner similar to the way he implemented in the classroom. He assigned the project, let the teams work on the research throughout the term, and had the teams present their results at the end of the term. However, unlike the classroom environment where students had an opportunity to meet their fellow team members in class on a regular basis, the students in the online environment struggled to meet and work together. Several students, especially high-achieving proactive students, reported frustration at the lack of participation of their other fellow team members, and a number of straight-A students withdrew from the course. As a consequence, Littleton canceled the project. He then participated in the spring 2015 TOL 6100 seminar to explore strategies and best practices that would enable him to successfully transition this course. As part of TOL 6100, he met with an instructional designer to review the pedagogical and logistical organization of the project. During that consultation, two key ideas emerged for redesigning the project. First, he broke it into several smaller deliverables that teams would produce throughout the term rather than one large deliverable due at the end of the term. Second, each student's participation in each deliverable became a large part, roughly 50% of their grade on that deliverable, rather than a portion of the overall team project grade. In the next course delivery, he applied those strategies and other strategies he found in the seminar readings to create an improved version of the team-based research project. His second attempt was a huge success. From his perspective, as well as his students, everything worked out really well. And there are some quotes in the article from students. Overall, the final project papers were a better quality than in previous semesters, and there were fewer issues involving the lack of individual participation. This positive experience gave Littleton a new appreciation for online teaching and learning that he shared with colleagues as a spotlight presenter at UNF's third annual Academic Technology and Innovation Symposium. The title of that talk was Transitioning Team-Based Projects from a Face-to-Face to an Online Environment. During that talk, Littleton outlined his four-step solution for overcoming some of the challenges associated with the team-based projects in online classrooms. In this article, those four steps are outlined. Step one, break the project into multiple deliverables, as we had already discussed. A single deliverable research paper was broken into three primary deliverables: a summary, a midterm report, and a research paper. Step two, teams were responsible for creating a framework for the project, a set of expectations for the team. So that included a team contract, another prospectus, another summary, and a midterm report. Step three was to provide a process to allow students to evaluate their team papers. This included an anonymous survey, a status report, and then an overall survey, which provides students with one last opportunity to evaluate their teammates, and that counts as 25% of the team grade. Step four, provide teams with examples of the team contract, a prospectus, midterm report, status report, and a research paper. With these examples, students could focus more on how they will be organized rather than what they should organize. And so that helped to streamline that process, and it worked really well for the students. Now, in his third term of facilitating team-based projects using his four-step solution, Littleton says all indications point to another successful semester. Again, students are happier with the process, the deliverables are still of higher quality than received in his face-to-face classes, and no one is withdrawing from the course because of the team-based project. Of course, he still makes modifications to assignment instructions and is always finding better ways to communicate expectations, but that's all routine maintenance. If you have any questions about this article or are interested in learning more about team-based learning, feel free to contact Jim Littleton and the emails provided in the article, or schedule a consultation with an instructional designer. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dave Wilson, Assistant Director. In this Digital Thinking, I review the NMC Horizon Report 2016 Higher Education Edition. Every year, the New Media Consortium and the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative publish a series of Horizon Reports outlining emerging technologies, trends, and challenges in educational and nonprofit sectors. The Higher Education Edition is the foremost report of the series. It is broken into three sections, or horizons, of trends and challenges. The first section covers key trends for accelerating technology in higher education, touching on topics like measured learning, blended learning design, and advancing cultures of innovation. The second section of the report focuses on significant challenges impeding technology adoption, such as improving digital literacy, competing models of education, and keeping education relevant. The final section covers important developments in educational technology, including bring your own device, augmented learning, and makerspaces. The short-term horizon includes technologies the report expects to gain widespread adoption within less than a year. Bring your own device, or BYOD, is the practice of creating in-class exercises or assignments that utilize students' laptops and mobile devices. BYOD is not unfamiliar to the Horizon Report, as it was also featured last year. Students can use e-textbooks, photograph events with their smartphones, or use specific apps like a lab equipment simulator. There are several reasons why widespread adoption of BYOD is slow. Laptops are great productivity tools, but not all students have one. Tablets are decent productivity tools, but even fewer students own a device of this kind. Most students own a smartphone, but their usefulness as productivity tools is limited, and designing an exercise that works across multiple device platforms can be difficult. These limitations may slow adoption, but that doesn't mean BYOD is not useful in some situations. At UNF, the wireless network is reliable and should support smaller medium class sizes without issues. CERT can help create BYOD exercises and has a variety of devices faculty can borrow for testing. As an alternative to BYOD, we also have two packs of iPads available for checkout. The Horizon Report describes learning analytics and adaptive learning as an educational application of web analytics aimed at learner profiling, a process of gathering and analyzing details of individual student interactions in online learning activities. The goal is to build better pedagogies, empower active learning, target at-risk student populations, and assess factors affecting completion and student success. For examples of adaptive learning implementation at higher education institutions, including a few in-state peers, please see the article Tales from the Frontline of Adaptive Learning. A link is in the CERT News. The midterm horizon includes technologies the report expects to gain widespread adoption within 2 to 3 years. Augmented and virtual reality are closely related technologies. Augmented reality, or AR, uses a mobile device to overlay digital information on the physical world. QR codes are great examples of simple augmented reality. When the code is scanned, your device displays information from the internet. The latest generation of AR apps can use GPS information and the phone's camera to recognize physical locations and objects. Virtual reality, or VR, is more immersive. Instead of adding digital content to the physical world, VR brings you into a digital world. VR isn't new, but new VR headsets have reinvigorated interest in this technology. These relatively affordable headsets include fully featured devices like Oculus Rift or Microsoft HoloLens, both scheduled for release in 2016, as well as inexpensive options like Google Cardboard that use a smartphone as a computer and display. CERT has experience creating AR content using the Erasma app. Widespread adoption of makerspaces is expected in the near future. Makerspaces are communities that combine rapid prototyping tools like 3D printers and CNC machines, traditional shop or lab tools, programmable logic controllers like the Arduino, electronics, and software design tools where people can explore ideas and work on projects collaboratively. The long-term horizon identifies technologies the report expects to receive widespread adoption in the next 4 to 5 years. Both technologies identified in this range are too immature at this stage to predict if they will receive widespread adoption. Effective computing is the ability of computers to interpret and mimic human emotions. The MIT robot Kismet is an example of effective computing. Kismet reads human emotions and responds with facial or oral expressions. Possible future use in higher education may include reading emotions of students in online courses. The report also features the potential for robotics in the healthcare field. The availability of inexpensive, easy-to-use electronic components, open-source microcontrollers, and the Raspberry Pi computer are common contributing factors to adoption. These components allow anyone with basic skills in electronics and programming to create robots. I have a couple Arduino microcontrollers in my office if you're interested in seeing them. For more information about the NMC Horizon Report or to discuss any of the featured technologies, please visit me in CERT.
Hello, my name is Rosie Parlett and I'm an instructional designer at CERT. Over the past several years, the instructional designers in CERT have written dozens of articles on best practices in online teaching and learning, covering a variety of topics from developing course maps to encouraging student engagement. While there's certainly no shortage of topics to write about, in this edition of CERT News, we highlight a few of those articles that have the most potential impact for online learning. In this edition of Best Practices Online, we revisit some articles that address three major components of online learning. First being course development delivery. Preparing ahead of time for the challenges of developing and delivering an online course can drastically improve the student and instructor experience. Here are some articles that may be of assistance with planning, development, and delivery of your online course. Developing a course map for your online course. Scaffolding to support student success in an online course. Mindful development and delivery of an online course. The next major component is teaching online. Connection, engagement, and interaction are the foundation upon which student success, motivation, and learning are built. Providing structured feedback to students and making your online presence known are two ways that instructors can be more effective online teachers. Articles that include best practices for teaching online include benefits of providing feedback to students, cultivating a sense of presence in your online course, promoting academic integrity in your online course. The last major category we cover related to online learning is student engagement. Students who are more engaged with their online learning feel a greater sense of community within the course, and as a result are better prepared to achieve a high level of course learning. The following articles present some strategies for increasing student engagement in the online environment. Peer assessment. Using Facebook groups to increase learner interaction. Effective online collaboration assignments. Raising the bar in online discussions. For a complete list of all articles written by current and past members of the instructional design team, visit the related articles section of the instructional design website. In addition, if you would like more information about the content of this article or have other questions related to instructional design and online learning, please visit the instructional design website to schedule a consultation with an instructional designer. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please visit us online at www.unf.edu/CIRT. Have a great day.